We've been studying, looking at the fruit of the Spirit. If you would like to, you could turn to Galatians chapter number 5, where we find the fruit of the Spirit. And here's a great memory verse for you as well, as we've been looking at this for several weeks. If you just reviewed this even just a few times throughout the week, by the time we're done with this, you will have this committed to memory. Repetition is the key to learning, and if you just read this a few times, bring it back to memory, over some time you'll have it down. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. But having this fruit of the Spirit, having the fruit of the Spirit, we won't be living in vainglory. We won't be provoking one another, envying one another. Won't be jealous of one another, because the fruit of the Spirit is what is being manifest in our lives. Have you ever seen the sticker on a package that says fragile, handle with care? Now, you know that to the shipping company, those really don't mean anything at all, right? they don't mean anything at all. It's just a great big warning on there for them to maybe try and throw it a little harder or a little farther. I don't know. You've seen some of those deliveries that, people get caught on the home cameras, and the guy's delivering a package and he stops at the end of the street and throws it to the porch and it lands. You know, fragile, handle with care, and it's like this complete disregard to that. Hopefully, I think God is telling us this morning, as we look at the idea of gentleness, that, sometimes people need to be handled with care. Sometimes they're a little bit at a place in their life where they're fragile, and they need some gentleness. And I think if we aren't careful, we'll disregard the warnings that are there that we see, that they need some gentleness, and we won't handle them with care. I mean, how many of a young person has been crushed, discouraged, because when they needed some gentleness, they were met with somebody mean, overbearing, hateful. And when a person could have been brought along with love and gentleness, and yet they were turned away from God because of anger and a mean spirit. This fruit of the Spirit, this idea of gentleness. You know, we live in an angry world today. Such an angry world. I mean, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I mean, who would have talked about road rage? Now road rage is actually competing for the first place in the causes of accidents and deaths against drunk driving. Road rage. Because people can't control their spirit. Because somebody cut them off. It's amazing to me how many people honk at us because we're turning into the property. Over there on Shawan Road, we slow down to turn. Our blinker's on. We're slowing down a turn. We're turning the corner like anybody else into any other spot. And people are, like we're supposed to turn without slowing down. They didn't want to slow down to the speed limit to let us turn. They wanted to keep going. This day and age, yesterday, somebody, I won't tell you how fast I was going because I'm not good. I'm not confessing my sin this morning, but... I was driving down Shawan Road, and I was going at a good pace, but apparently I wasn't going fast enough because somebody in a Range Rover swerved out from behind me and gunned it beside me and swerved right back in front of me to try and just really accentuate the fact that I was not moving quick enough. And then they gunned it and passed two more peoples to make that, where Shawan Road comes in down to one lane there, right before the property. I mean, they just missed a car to get right there, and then there was cars in front of them and everybody slowed down in a line. Like, okay, but you see that all the time. We live in such an angry, upset world But as Christians, we're supposed to have the spirit of gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit, it ought to be evident in our lives. You know, this is something that for men is less natural. You know, there are certain characteristics that we talk about these fruit of the Spirit. Some of them are more prevalent in some people than others. But as a general rule, I think ladies have a compassionate heart. They have a caring spirit. They have a gentleness about them that's given to them by God. And men almost fight against it. We want to be known as, we're tough, bless God, I'm the mean green machine, and I'm just going to, you know, we're gentleness, forget that. We don't even want to address that or talk about it or pretend. Have you ever heard anybody, though, as a man that was described, not just as a gentleman, but was described as a gentle man, a man that had that kind of spirit about him? Do you know, although we're supposed to be men, we can still be gentle. We can still be gentle. So let's look at this idea this morning, the idea of gentleness defined. According to the scripture, the Greek word that's found out throughout the New Testament, it's kind of interesting that the Greek word it means usefulness, a moral excellence of character or demeanor, usefulness. That word usefulness, I want you to think about it, because as we get a little further, you'll understand why it would be translated usefulness. It's beyond just a maybe like you would be tender or gentle with a pet. The other day, my kids found some rabbits in our yard, and they're little baby rabbits. And Bradley's laughing because he knows the end of the story. But my kids found these rabbits. And they're like, oh, you know, rabbits. And so I said, yeah, you guys can keep them, you know. So they got these rabbits, and they went online and learned. It's like, it's perfectly normal. I mean, it's basically just like a domesticated rabbit. You can get a wild rabbit, and you can feed it, and it domesticated. There's no difference. They're not going to, you know, be rabid, or they're not going to go crazy on you or bite you or anything. You can raise it and feed it. And so the kids were learning all about caring for these rabbits, and they were so afraid that other animals were going to get them that, you know, they had them in a big barrel, and they put, like, a cage over the top, so no, because we have a fox that the kids feed on the property, and there's a fox that comes by every day to get his daily meal from the kids, and they put him out there, and so they're like, we don't want to feed the fox the rabbits, so they're trying to protect these rabbits. But when we caught the rabbits, obviously the rabbits were just shaking, they were scared, and I said, leave them, put them in there and leave them alone. You're going to give them a heart attack. They were like over the top of them, and you know, all of them want to play them and see them and all that. I said, let them sit. They need to settle down. They're very scared right now. You want to be very gentle. Don't move fast. You're going to scare them. We got to wait and see. But that it's gentleness is beyond just a tender, loving touch. The Greek word here described as usefulness, most of the times in the New Testament, it is actually translated kindness. Kindness. So although the word gentleness is only found four times in the scriptures, two times in the Old Testament, two times in the New Testament, the same Greek word is found a number of other times, and it's translated kindness. So we think about the idea of gentleness. It goes beyond just being gentle, but it goes into a capacity for kindness. And that is to actually do something kind for others, to be gentle, to express and display kindness. Webster's 1828 dictionary says it's a gentle behavior, a softness of manner, a mildness of temper, a sweetness of disposition. Gentleness. The idea of kindness, of usefulness. I wonder, are these words that would be used to describe you? Would they say he or she was a gentle person? Or would they say he was an angry person? Or he was a upset person? Or he or she was a, you know, how would people describe you or I? Gentleness comes from above. Of course, we know that it's a fruit of the Spirit. So it's not something necessarily that is natural to us, but it's something that comes because we have the Spirit of God in our life. But also it comes from God in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse number 36. He says, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great." He says, you've given me thy salvation. And David was talking there, and David repeats the same thing in the Psalms 18:35. He says, "Thou hast also given me thy shield of salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." You see, we don't think about gentleness as making us great. We think about gentleness as being weak. We think of gentleness as letting people walk all over us. But in fact, gentleness is power submitted to the point of usefulness. The greatest illustration of this you can think about is that of a horse. A horse is a powerful animal. I mean, you think about Clydesdale, these great massive horses, they're 1,800, 2,200 pounds. I mean, they're in excess of that, some of them. And the power they have to be able to pull massive loads and to be able to carry an amazing amount of weight. And you have these horses that at one point were wild. They were untamed and they just ran and did what they wanted to do. But when they become tamed, the power of that horse is submitted to the master. And now that power becomes useful. The definition of our word gentleness. The power, all the strength and ability that that horse has, which used to run wild, is now useful to the master. To me, that's amazing. When you think about the idea, it's not a matter of being weak. It's a matter of submitting the abilities that we have to the master that we can be used for his purposes. The gentleness that he wants us to have is not a weakness, but it's a strength. It's submitting to him, yielding to him, whatever strength or ability we have that we could be useful for the master, putting it under his control to be used how he sees fit. Without gentleness, many times our touch is harmful instead of helpful. Our way of dealing with people is selfish instead of selfless. But when we are submitted to God, the power we have is brought under control and used by the Spirit of God to help people. It does come for a purpose. God wants us to be gentle for a purpose. We submit to him for a purpose. And as I said, it's not just so that people can walk over all over us. I mean, I know we think of groups of people and you come to mind probably the idea of the Quakers and how they just would not raise a hand, how they would not defend themselves. They wouldn't fight. They just wanted to, you know, they felt that that is what God wanted of them. And we are supposed to be gentle. But I want you to understand, the Bible tells us that we are to contend for the faith. That is a fighting word. Contend for the faith. We are to be soldiers of the cross. That is a fighting word. God wants us to stand up for truth and righteousness. God wants us to stand up for what is right and true. So he's not saying just lay down and let people walk all over you. We are to stand. Next week, we're going to be dealing with the next fruit, which is goodness. Do you know you cannot continue to be good unless you're willing to contend for the faith? Unless you're willing to continue to stand up for righteousness, unless you're willing to confront sin. So we've got to stand up for righteousness, we've got to stand up, but we can do it in a gentle way. You know, I think of the woman who was caught in adultery. Do you understand? There's such conflicting thoughts in my mind, but Jesus is the only one who could have thrown stones. He said, any one of you here without sin, you cast the first stone. Everybody else had to walk away, right? Because they weren't without sin. But Jesus could have thrown stones. But he didn't throw any stones, did he? He was gentle. But at the same time, he didn't say, oh, don't worry about it. Yeah, your sin doesn't matter. I love you, so you can continue in your sin. Did he do that? No. He said, go and sin no more. So he didn't cast stones, but he addressed the fact that she was living in sin and doing wrong and needed to change. Right? We are to stand for truth and righteousness. But we need to do it gently. Now, Baptist, Biblicist, have a reputation of being mean and angry. And quite frankly, a lot of times, it's deserved. Because fundamental independent Baptists sometimes have this mindset that the meaner they are, the more spiritual they are. That's not the case, okay? That is not what Christ did. He was not mean with her. He was not angry. It's not the matter you are. I mean, listen, I grew up fundamental independent Baptist. I mean, hard nosed, hellfire and brimstone preaching. And I mean, preachers get up and talk about how they're meaner than a junkyard dog. And all of the. I don't think that's something to be proud of. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. David, in both of the texts in the Old Testament, said he was made great by God's gentleness. Not by his anger. Not by being mean, by being hateful, by chopping people's heads off, figuratively speaking. I mean, just ripping somebody's head off because they stepped across the line. Yesterday, we had 5 gallons of paint sitting in the yard. And we were going to paint the shed. And that 5 gallons of paint was kind of a mixture of all the different leftover white paint that we had in the basement. We just put it all in one. We're going to mix it up and use it to paint the barn, the shed there. And I hadn't mixed it yet. And so I just set the lid on there because we didn't get to it on Friday. We were going to do it on Saturday. And, of course, it rained and there was water all over the lid. So Timothy went out and he was going to move the 5 gallons of paint. But he wanted to dump the water off first. And the lid wasn't on. So I'm standing on the porch, and I turn around, and I see Timothy picking the bucket back up, and a pile of paint in the grass. The only paint, I mean, I looked through every single gallon of paint we had trying to get enough white paint to paint the shed, and he just dumped about 2 gallons of it in the yard. And I said, son, what are you doing? He said, I was going to move the bucket over there. And I said, how in the world did you dump the paint in the yard if you were going to pick the bucket up and move it? I mean, how could you dump it out? And he says, well, I was going to dump the water off first. I said, he said, the lid wasn't on. He said, I know the lid wasn't on. I was going to mix that. It wasn't mixed yet. Anyways, to make a long story short, I went to get a hose. Well, I told him, I said, son, we need to save all that paint. Go get a bucket. And I need you to pick it up. I need you to use your hands and pick it up and put it into another bucket. All that you can get out of the yard. And then we've got to clean all that paint out of the grass before it puts a big white stain in the yard. And so then he did that. I was going to get a hose to bring it over to him to wash his hands. But he didn't wait for me. Now, I didn't explain to him what I was doing. I was working on it. He went down to the back of the house and you paint all over his hands and turned the knob to turn the faucet on. And then is washing his hands, all the paint off his hands there on the back porch. And I walked around and I said, "Son, what are you doing?" I said, "Now you got to clean the yard. And now you got to clean the faucet and you got to clean the back of the house and the porch off. Why would you come around here with paint all over you and get it everywhere?" Needless to say, I wasn't very happy. And I wasn't very gentle. And then about 20 minutes later, the Holy Spirit's like, "You're going to be preaching on gentleness tomorrow." And I had to walk outside and I had to say, "Son, Dad, sorry. Because you were trying to help. It wasn't your fault. The bucket, the lid wasn't on. You didn't know that. You were just trying to move it. It just happened. It was a mistake." And I said, "I should not have responded that way. Son, I want you to know I'm sorry. I shouldn't have got so frustrated with you because it really is not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal." That's right. Thank you, Don. The Holy Spirit already convicted me. I don't need your help. God wants us as people to be gentle. Our natural tendency is not necessarily to do that. But that's what God wants. We do it. Why are we to be gentle? The reason is that men may recover from the snare of the devil. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 26, he says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil." That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Now, there's several things listed there that we do, but one of them is we are gentle with men that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. You understand it's gentleness that brings people back to God? We stand for truth, but we do it gently. You understand it's God's goodness that brings men to repentance? According to Romans chapter 2, verse number 4, he says, Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You know, many times we think it's the chastening hand of God or that's the judgment of God that brings us to repentance. Now listen, the chastening and the judgment of God is because of God's goodness. God loves you too much to let you continue down a path that's going to destroy your life. And so God, out of his love for you, will bring judgment, will bring chastening because you are his child and he loves you. And he'll bring chastening to your life, but it's that goodness of God, the Bible says, that brings us back to repentance because we consider about how good God has been. So that gentleness defined, I want you to see gentleness displayed. There's many things in the scriptures that we could look at and people characteristics that we could see with regards to this idea of kindness being displayed, of gentleness being displayed. You think of different Bible characters that display this characteristic of gentleness. And I think of Rahab in Joshua chapter 2, verse number 12. He says, "Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness," that is the same word that was translated gentleness, "that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token." She, you know, she saved the spies there. She protected them. She showed them kindness when it was undeserved and unwarranted without any, at that point, any guarantee of any type of kindness being showed back. But she says, "Listen, I pray thee, would you be willing to show me some kindness?" show my father's house some kindness. Ruth, in Ruth chapter 3, verse number 10, he says, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Displayed this kindness, Ruth, continuing. In Samuel, the Kenites, standing for kindness. They showed themselves kind unto the children of Israel, protecting them. I think of the men of Jabesh-Gilead, when they went out and they gathered Saul's bones and brought them back to be buried with the children of Israel, with God's people, showing that kindness. David and the story of Mephibosheth. You want to read a story of great kindness, read that. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. You can read that later, but the kindness that he showed unto Mephibosheth, bringing him back, and although he was a son or a relative of the previous king, and under normal circumstances, he would have been killed. Yet David brought him in and treated him as a son, as part of the family, showed him great kindness, great gentleness, when he could have shown him the opposite. But the greatest display of kindness that we see is displayed to us by God in our lives. It's the Bible, several places, talks about the kindness of God, and it's described as great, great kindness. In Jonah chapter 4, verse number 2, now you know the story of Jonah. Jonah was supposed to preach to the children of Nineveh, right? He was going to preach unto them, hey, repent, or God's going to judge you. And you know, in Jonah's heart, he wanted the people to be judged. And then they repented, and God showed them great kindness. And Jonah says, and he prayed unto the Lord, and he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, a merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. He says, I knew you were going to forgive them people, and that's why I didn't want to go tell them. He said, I wanted them to be judged, and I knew you were a gracious God and a loving God and a kind God, a gentle God, and I didn't want to go tell them because I knew you were going to forgive them rascals. He was disappointed that they got forgiven. It's a great kindness that God has. In Joel chapter 2, verse number 13, he says, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. He's of great kindness. The same description of God is given to us in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 17. It's a great kindness that God has for us. Amen? What a great, great kindness and a great God. Not only is there a great kindness that God has for us, it's an everlasting. Do you know, have you ever had somebody that was very kind to you, very good to you, very gentle with you, and then something happened? You might not even know what, but something happened, and all of a sudden, that kindness was gone. Maybe it was a neighbor you used to get along real good with, and you guys, you know, you drop over and take him some sugar, or he would come and ask for some milk, and there's mutual kindness back and forth, but somehow, you know, you left your mower on his yard one time too many or something, and now all of a sudden that kindness is all gone. It's disappeared. But you know, the kindness that we get from God is an everlasting kindness. It's not going to change. It's not going to change. He says in Isaiah 54, verses 8 through 10, he says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. With an everlasting kindness, he's going to have mercy on us. Praise God for that. An everlasting kindness. Kindness is not going to go away. It doesn't matter how many times you leave your lawnmower on his grass. He's still going to show kindness. If we're going to be like Christ, we need to be like that. You know, sometimes we lose patience with people, don't we? I have told him and told him, that's it. I'm done with him. I'm done with him. We should never get to that place where we're done with somebody. Because God is never done with us. He shows us an everlasting kindness. He says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. He says, the mountains are going to be removed before my kindness will be. That's quite a promise, isn't it? Quite a promise given to us by God. The Bible also describes a marvelous kindness, which is a wonderful, wonderful kindness. That marvelous kindness is seen with different characters. The woman caught in adultery that I talked to you about already in John chapter 8. The Samaritan woman, where normally a Jew would have nothing to do with this Samaritan woman, but Christ did. You think of the publican, Zacchaeus. Jesus went to him, Zacchaeus, come down from there. And everybody said, oh, Jesus is going to eat with sinner. He has a marvelous kindness, a kindness towards us. Psalms 103, verse number 10 and 11 says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. God hasn't given us what we deserve. And beyond that, he's given us a lot of things we don't deserve. And you know those are the definitions of mercy and grace. And God is merciful and gracious abundantly to us. So God calls on us, and let me give you quickly as we close here the fact that gentleness is demanded of us. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It ought to be evident in our life. As Christians, we are supposed to be gentle. It's required of a servant in 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must strive, but be gentle. If we're going to be a servant of God, we've got to be gentle. It's required of believers. Colossians 3, verse number 12, he says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering of believers, to put on kindness. It's required of ministers, and I don't believe that's just people in full-time Christian service. I think all of us are to be ministers for the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4 through 6, he says, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in laboring, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness. We're to have kindness, even in the face of all those things that the Apostle Paul was listing, the hardships, the trials. Sometimes when we're going through a hardship, kindness goes out the window. Forget it. I've had a bad day. I didn't get enough sleep last night, so everybody should just put up with my bad attitude. We're supposed to continue to be kind. He says here the list is in stripes, having been beaten, imprisonments, in tumults, in distresses, in afflictions. Still supposed to be kind. It's required of us. A virtuous woman, Proverbs 31, one of the descriptions of her is somebody that's kind. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. A law of kindness. Pastors are to be kind. Titus 3, verse number 2, he says, speak evil of no man, be no brawlers, be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Those to be gentle with all men. A wise man is going to be kind. James chapter 3, verse number 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. If we're going to be wise, we're going to be kind. Let me give you this last one. It's James 3, verse number 17. If we're going to be a good master, that means a good mom, a good dad, a good boss. If we're going to be a good master, we're going to be kind. 1 Peter 2, verse number 18, he says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. He's saying, servants, you'll be obedient to your master. There's some masters that are good. They're gentle. But there's some that are forward. There's some that are mean. They're jerks. We're still supposed to. But if you take the other side of that, there's some that are described as good. And if we're going to be a good leader, a good master, a good father, mother, employer, we're going to be gentle. I hope these thoughts this morning have been a challenge to you as they were to me as I studied them, that we need to exercise and have this fruit of the Spirit of gentleness in our life. Let's close. Lord, we thank you for today and the time to be in your house. Lord, I pray that the Sunday school lesson this morning was challenging. I pray the Spirit of God would drive home this thought and maybe bring it to remembrance throughout the week when situations arise where we would be tempted to lose that spirit of gentleness. And I pray, God, you would allow the Spirit of God to reign in our lives and this fruit of the Spirit to be evident, that we'd be gentle with all men. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.